Jai Guru John.
Yeah, girl.
I have a question. So very less detail is available regarding deep blue state. So I was following my Guru's instruction and concentrating on the center of my eyebrows. So earlier I was not able to concentrate for more than say a minute. But nowadays I can concentrate say around say I don't know, but maybe 2-3 minutes. So what I heard, deep blue state is not completely deep blue state, but it is blackish. And sometimes some white cloud-like thing comes. But if I concentrate there, it's kind of whole body goes numb. And complete peace. But it is not more than say two to three minutes. It's I cannot go longer than that. So is it important to concentrate there? What is significance and what is more detail about deep blue state?
Yes, yes. Maharaj has said, and he'll tell people when he first gives mantra, to concentrate on the tip of your nose. So it's similar what you're talking about. Concentrate where your eyebrows are, and or you know this area of concentration, because mind is always busy. moving about, and this concentrates and kind of keeps the mind busy. You're told by the master to concentrate on, you know, keeping eyes on the eyebrows, or in Maharaja's case, the tip of the nose. And that way then the mind is focused. And now you, the concentrator that's behind the mind, have kind of a clear runway because this mind is focused. So it's not, you know, not darting this way and that way. Oh, I'm trying to meditate and this is happening and I'm following this thought. Instead, I'm focused on the tip of the nose, focused on the breathing, some people will say, whatever it is, because right now in the beginning stages of going with your selfless self, you're not yet able to concentrate on yourself because that selfless self is formless. It's the formless invisible listener. So to give somebody, a lot of times too, they'll say, okay, look at a candle. I know a lot of different places that will say, okay, look at the candle, because basically you need to focus your attention on something because of the idea and belief that you're still a thing. And it's more difficult to try and meditate or concentrate on the formlessness that you are. This will come though. And yeah, as long as you're following your guru's instructions, that's the main thing, because the guru is your own formless presence. And much of that is complete trust and faith. And the complete trust and faith in the master. Now you're not having a guru who talks about chakra and this and all these body-based concepts. It's a guru who says, listen, your ultimate truth, that's it. Now you have to find this for yourself. In this discovery, do this exercise of concentrate on the eyebrows, or in our case, tip of the nose, mantra, remaining with your selfless self. Because that's basically the burger. And in these satsangs and such, this is the fries. Not even really the fries. This is like the ketchup. You know, you're doing the base of the work of remaining with your selfless self, concentration, the meditation, concentrating on the tip of the nose, concentrating on where the eyebrows, keeping the mind focused so that you can start to concentrate on the concentrator. And then as you're concentrating, because you'll start to see the focus, oh, I'm focused on these eyebrows and I'm breathing and I'm focused here, mantra, and listening to mantra rather than actually doing mantra, focused in this way. But who's this one focusing? Oh, so I'm behind this one. Okay, so I'm the power for this focusing to be arising. And now, as I continue to remain with myself, the self, continue in our lineage with the mantra, remaining with the tip of the nose, breathing, after a while it becomes spontaneous because now you've touched that selfless self, the invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. You can't see it, but you can feel it subtly as a sense of presence through the body. And we use the word presence so much that we don't want that to become a concept. So you can use spirit, presence, peace, serenity, whatever you want to call that very, very subtle feeling that's behind everything. You're continuously, without having to stay diving into your selfless self, you're literally inviting the attention of the invisible listener that you are as you're maintaining this meditative kind of, okay, these are the instructions my master gave me, and this is what I'm doing. Because the master is the invisible listener. So like Maharaj says, you take one step, he takes the next step. It's a two-way street. If Maharaj says, I give you this mantra, I want you to sit for a couple hours every day, try to concentrate on the tip of the nose, try to concentrate on the breathing, and recite the mantra. Then the mantra will begin to be heard rather than done. It'll start to run spontaneously. You'll know the breathing is the rhythm of the mantra, and you're listening to the mantra as it's running through the body. And then you start to look at this listener. Who's this? Where is this one? And that's where it goes deeper and deeper and deeper in your selfless self. And that's why Maharaj says too, so many people, they take the mantra, they come to India, get on the plane, fly all the way to India, have this like little vacation or whatever. They come to take the mantra and they believe, I'm going to take this mantra and boom, that's it. Like it's finished. But they don't put in the work, don't put in the practice. They might sit in the ashram and say, okay, it's meditation time. Okay, let's meditate and thinking. And Nisargadatta Maharaj used to be able to know. They talk about this in the books where he would walk in and he would be like, no one's meditating. Like everyone's busy in their mind. He can feel this busyness in the room. He's saying, no, what are you doing? Meditation is not just sitting and thinking about the lunch or what we're going to do afterwards or go for a hike or something. Meditation is remaining with your selfless self, concentrating on the concentrator, the invisible listener, anonymous, invisible, unidentified identity that you are. Then you go and you listen to bhajan, and that helps shake the body with the vibrations a little bit. Then you go and you listen to the knowledge in a satsang like this and the sharing. But this is just the very light. That's why Maharaj says this is basically the body-based knowledge and is kind of useless other than as a topping. Because when you have been doing the practice, remaining with your selfless self and seriously, earnestly desiring to know yourself, then this kind of brings that up a little bit more because you're already bubbling and this is turning up the heat just a little bit so you can boil over and be with your selfless self. And then whether you're in satsang, whether you're in bhajan, whether you're out on the street in busy traffic, you're with your selfless self.
So being selfless, being in selfless self is kind of gradual process or it's kind of sudden? Because for me, say, I feel myself, but it lasts around 15 minutes sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes half an hour. Then if I am busy with some work or something, then it goes off. Earlier it used to be very less, but now it is more. But it's not, say, constantly, always. It's not
continuous. It's the background of every experience. It is there always. It's just whether the attention is going outwards or inwards. And there is no really out and in. That's just for conversation. But like Maharaj would say, if you're going into a cave and it's dark in this cave, as soon as you light the torch, boom, there's light. That's it. So that's in the instant. There can be progressive steps coming up to that instant. But the moment you realize your selfless self, that's really it. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj would say, if you remain with the I am removes all the doubts. So now you can go about in your daily life. You don't have to be concentrating on yourself all the time because you are that self. You are formless. These things that are happening, when they start to pull you away and you start to believe in the mind flow, just sit and refresh your memory. Oh yeah, this I am. Not all these little things going on around this body form. I'm not body, I'm formless. I know this. If I know this even one time, how can I be formless sometimes and body sometimes other? No, I'm formless. When I know my formless self, I am that. Then whether form is there or isn't there makes no difference. I'm formless. The form-based reality and the existence, the illusion of experience, these are just things that are occurring just like a dream. But I absolutely know it's dream. And I'm going to wake up. Wake up, meaning I'll no longer have this body-based existence or this experience of experiencing. And yet I'll be there because I'm formless. I know this because I've used this body form to recognize or realize my formless nature. So now that's it. Now I can go ahead, do my job, do my duties. When things start to pressure and mind flow starts, oh, no, no, no. I just, you know, okay. I just keep quiet. And even when I'm not keeping quiet, I'm still presence. Because you're not a body. All of this body-based illusion is appearing within you, just like a dream. Just like when you lay down at night and sleep, and boom, an entire world is projected and you're in it, seemingly. Well, of course you're not in it. You are. You are the substance, the background of this dream. And you know this when you wake up. Oh, I had a very good dream. Well, this body-based existence is a long dream. Now go about and do. The only thing that's bothering the mind is that I'm not remaining with the presence. I desire an experience of presence. But you are that presence. And that's why Maharaj says, you walk into the cave and you light a torch. It's no longer dark. You meditate, you go into meditation and you concentrate on your selfless self. And you feel this invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. This subtle, subtle, just I, that you are. Body you are not. Mind flow you are not. Mind flow is about the illusion, the world, form. Mind can't have thoughts unless it's with name and form. No name and form, no thoughts. You're formless. So you don't have to think about anything. You just have to be. You don't have to be because being is the most natural thing. It's being this or that that's troublesome and requires a mind-created sort of effort to be something. You are.
Sometimes I ask myself, like, you know, when I find myself wanting to hold on to selfless self in a sense, who wants to hold on? Who wants, you know, it's basically who wants this feeling all the time, every, you know, every second, every moment, you know, kind of. There's a somebody there wanting something, so, and that kind of dissolves it a lot of times.
Yes. You are that. And everything that's not that is just appearances on that. And so there's no holding on, and as soon as you hold on, like you said, who wants to hold on? You're holding on to yourself. Do you have to concentrate to be Andrew? Like, how would Andrew react to this situation? Mine may be there, mine may not be there, but you remain. No need to flow along with mind. Can be the river that's just kind of passing by. Whatever's passing by in the river, you're on the bank. No need to jump in the river. Now that you know that you can wait on the bank. See, previously, before Master, the body-based existence appeared so true, and you were in the river, and things were hitting you in the river. And if the river hit a log, you hit the log. And if trash was in the river, you complained about how much trash was in the river. But you didn't understand that you could just stand up, the river's only 2 feet deep, and go and walk on the bank. And now you're out of the river. Instead, you're splashing around and trying desperately to get out of the river, and you never were in the river. So you just get out, stand on the side of the bank, and watch. You're giving the mind power. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Keith. Oh, Rami. I'm sorry. I thought it was Keith. I saw Keith's box light up. But Rami, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So basically, the identification of I is shifting from know, illusionary side to, you know, truth or witness is taken as the I.
Yeah, the feeling in the body, just I, just I. Maharaj says this all the time. You wake up in the morning, no world is there, nothing's happening yet. Just for a split second, it's just I, just I. Just presence in the body without any kind of interest in what's going on around it. Then you, quote, wake up and say, oh, I have to go to work and this and that. And this I starts to put on clothes. But leave the I naked and formless and everything will be okay.
Yeah, so now the I is tainted with the adjuncts, body, mind, contents, thought. So when the I is identified itself as the witness, formlessness, that's where the story ends.
Well, and again, remember, there's no I at all, because I is this feeling of separation. This feeling I exist created the illusion of duality. And then because of body-based duality, you believe in experiencing, but you're formless. Think about the space in the room. The space in the room may click with the body and then understand, oh, I'm alive, but it's never interacting with the space in the room. And the space in the room isn't experiencing whatever's happening when this body's moving around inside of it. You're formless. And that's why Maharaj says, you cut it, very simple. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. All these things you are seeing are appearing on your spontaneous presence. And the first illusory thought is, I exist. But there is no existence. This feeling of existence created this dualistic illusion, this dualistic. You believe in experience because of believing in a body form, but you're formless. And it's not like you're formless after leaving the body. You're formless prior to clicking with the body, as Maharaj says. You're formless right now, and you will be formless after this body can no longer sustain that formless essence, that life force, whatever. You're still there. But all of this is illusion. It is the same. You fall asleep tonight, this body. Consciousness creates and projects a dream world. You see the sun, you see the rivers, you see a park, you see people in the park. If you identify with one of the dream characters, you create a story within the dream, and you believe in the story within the dream based on having this body form within your dream. Now, the story can continue for a long time. Like sometimes you fall asleep and you can have an entire like 4-hour movie in your dream, and it's only a very short time because you're creating everything, the movements, you might put birds in your sky, you might put people, or maybe there's no people in the park, or maybe one night there's people and one night there's no people. It's because the consciousness is just constantly creating. Spontaneously, things are arising on your presence, but you're formless because you're laying down sleeping. All of this, that's all this activity, all this world, all this life, all these things that are seen are within the dream. You're not using any eyes because your quote unquote eyes of the body are closed because you're laying down sleeping. And once you wake up, then you remember the entire experience. And although it was true at the time, you know, maybe you got hit by a car and that's what woke you up. And you wake up in your bed and you're, oh, I was not hit by a car. Okay, everything is good. It may have appeared very real. It may have impressed that you were hit by a car, but yet you were sleeping. It was totally illusion. Let's say you dream one night that you're a multimillionaire. We talked about this before. You wake up and you go outside. Oh, my Mercedes and my big mansion, it's not here. Where did it go? I was just having such a great time in the pool in my backyard. And now I'm here. And that's why the Ashtavakra Gita, when they say, no, you see, neither your dreaming being a servant, nor your reality of being a king, neither is true. Both are false. I forget who the king was who asked that question, but he says, am I dreaming that I'm a king and I'm actually a beggar? Or am I dreaming I'm a beggar and I'm a king? Which one is true? Because both seem so true. I don't like going to sleep at night and being a beggar because I'm the king. But am I actually a beggar and I'm dreaming being the king? And all the great stalwarts, they were like, oh, you know, this and this. And then Ashravakra, he came and he says, no, neither is true. It's the same consciousness as creating both experiences, and you're believing in both experiences, but neither is true. You're formless.
And then nothing can be said about the truth. Only all this effort, like to do the sadhana, it's just to deal with the illusionary name.
Yes, to start to break free of this illusory world. As Maharaj says, it's the roadmap to yourself. Once you sit, as we just talked about, in the meditation, and you sense the self, well, that's it. Okay, I throw this roadmap away. All this body-based knowledge, it's gone. And that's why so many people have such a hard time, because they're like, no, you understand. I paid $5,000 for this course and became a stage one, philosopher or something. And I paid $2,000. And then I went to this India retreat and where I meditated and I felt, I've never had that feeling again, but I was sitting on this mountain and the clear blue air. And I've been chasing that feeling and paying tens of thousands of dollars for the last 20 years. So certainly it can't be that. Well, yes, just remaining with your selfless self, inviting the attention of the invisible listener, you're already realized, you're just having the illusion that you're not. And as long as you don't allow this illusion of not being realized to impress, then you are. You're just formless. Something happens, girlfriend breaks up with you. Okay, you're going to be a little bit upset. You might have some emotions. Maybe you have to divide up furniture, but it's all illusion. So it's a spontaneous action in the moment, and you walk away. And the next thing. And if you can't, this is the perfect time for these illusory experiences that are perceived as true. Bow to the master. Master, you know, I thought this girl was for me. I thought she and I were going to be married and all this, and it all turned out terrible, and I'm so sad, and I feel so sad. And then remain with your selfless self in mantra. Start to just bow at the master's feet. Master, you said the world was illusion, and I trust you. Same with job. Same with any of these illusory experiences. Remain at the feet of the master. This is so important. Remain at the feet of the master. The feet of the master is the master's teachings. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body's not your identity. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. All these things that appear to be there are appearing on your spontaneous presence. Without your presence, they would not be. Without your presence, you can't be. Maharaj uses the example. If the presence left this body right now, we would no longer be having this little chat. This is a dead body. It's going to sit in this chair and stink until somebody comes and says, oh my God, we have to get rid of this body. And as Maharaj says, it's like firewood. Then you burn or bury it.
Rotten banana.
Yeah, the rotten banana. Rotting on the table, throw it away. Presence is the most valuable. I think Siddharameshwara Maharaj says this is the dirtiest body. I mean, think about this body. It's blood and urine and pus and even just the nose. Nasty, nasty, nasty. Yes? But the most pure presence is holding this body right now. It's just a misidentification that I am this body. No, I'm not. I'm the presence. And I never was impure by any of the body-based things or any of the body-based actions or any of the body-based activities because I'm formless. There's no deed, no doer. So all this karma, dharma, shwarma, all that stuff, that can be thrown away. There's nothing. All of these are body-based concepts. And Maharaj uses the example very quickly and easily. Prior to body, did you know anything about karma? No. Did you know anything about gods or goddesses? No. Nothing was there. None of these things that appeared on your spontaneous presence were there. So anything that you're acquiring using this body is really kind of meaningless, as we talked about in the dream. Tonight, if I dream that I'm going on a journey and I start to acquire things, my credit is super excellent and I win the lottery. And I, you know, now I have this $40 million house and I have all this kind of stuff. Now I may, inside the dream, say, oh, I really don't want to wake up because look at this life. Like I know when I wake up tomorrow, I'm back at my house. And yet right now I have this big mansion and these cars and everything that I could ever want. Why would I want to wake up? And I'm attached to that is not true. And the same is right now. In this waking state, we're attached to that is not true. And this goes back to the example of the ants. Pour water and the ants run. Why? Because presence in the form of the ant believes it will no longer exist if this water kills it. And the ant is attached to the body. The presence in the form of the ant is attached to I exist, attached to the body form. Just as I just spoke about in the dream, am attached to having a pool inside my house and outside my house, a movie theater in my house. I want that. And I'm attached to that. And even as I'm waking up, I might wake up and have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and be like, oh my God, I hope I go back to that dream. That was great. Because it's impressed so strongly that I'm experiencing this. But think of how silly that is. It's like clouds in the sky that are taking shape of a dog or a cat or an elephant. And I say, I want that. And the same is true in the waking state. All it takes is one time. Just I.
Not only the body is dirty, the mind is dirty.
Well, I mean, the mind is a flow of the thoughts about the body-based experience and what this body would like to experience. And then, of course, desire is desiring to experience that experience again, or desiring that experience not happen again, and creating this concept of duality, good and bad, and this and that. Oh, just remain with yourself, the self.
But then again, anything is kind of just another trap.
Well, you just remain. Again, like Ramakant and Nisargadatta Maharaj both say, in the morning, you first wake up, just die. When you're with your selfless self, that's the sensation you will see. Just die. No I am something. Just die. I without anything, a naked, formless I, that you are. Okay, now do your job, do your duties, go, wait in the lines, be nice and pleasant to neighbors, go and be in traffic, just die. When you start to feel yourself impressing with the illusion, no, I refresh my memory, just die. I do that with mantra, remaining with myself with self in any time. And I don't have to know, I'm not losing myself, This is a concept of the mind to keep the mind alive, and you're providing power to this mind because you say, sometimes I'm selfless self and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I feel absolute joy and peace and I desire to continue the experience. And yet I am. I simply am. And when I start to get disturbed of anything, I just remember, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. I do this with mantra. I remain with my selfless self. As soon as I've meditated and found this golden jewel within, just I, I without anything, naked formless I know that's the reality. That's the background of every experience. I'm sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say that that's what I read this week in Das Boj, for instance, and it really helped. There's a subchapter in chapter 7 called Discarding the Imagination, and he speaks about the imagination as darting all over the place. You know, one time it's imagining danger, another time it's imagining this, and you know, one thing that's another. And he said there is a correct use of the imagination, and that's simply to imagine one's true form, which is attributeless and formless, one's swarupa. And eventually the imagination dissolves into that, you know, into that, I guess it's just the eye, whatever. It goes, you know, and it kind of like brings it right. It discards the imagination, just dissolves it.
The more you remain with yourself as self, you're unwinding the world. That's as Maharaj says, you're clearing the concepts slowly, silently, and permanently. Underneath, the fire is bright. All the ash is removed, fire is bright. But fire is bright underneath the ash. Just can't see or perceive this fire because of all the ash. We remove the illusory ash, the thoughts, the concepts. And even the first concept of I exist. No. Actually, existence is a concept that came along with the body, and I am not body.
Primordial illusion.
Just think about how it would be so confusing if human being in this body form laid down and slept for 1 week and worked for 1 week, slept for 1 week and worked for 1 week. And you were literally sleeping and dreaming. And then you were waking up and going to work and all, you would not be able to tell which was the reality and which was not, which one was more important. And which family do I have? Do I have this family that I'm dreaming about or when I'm working and waking? Or am I waking and which is it? Is it dreaming or waking? And basically it's the same every night. We go to sleep for a couple of hours or whatever. Then we wake up for a couple of hours, we dream. And this is the same, which is neither. Because it's the same consciousness, it's the same presence on which all of this is appearing. And that you are isn't experiencing, whether it be in your dream state or whether it be in your so-called waking state. It's formless.
You know, John, something interesting is when you fall asleep and you go into the deep, dreamless sleep, there's a, you know, deep sleep, I guess, where there's no dream. And yet, what we don't fear that, we can actually, you know, that happens every night that you have some dreamless sleep, right? And yet, there are no desires in that state, because there's nothing. There's no objects. It's the awareness is, you know, or what a consciousness is there, but there's nothing to be conscious of. So there's no experience, no, you know, fear and no desire, right? So why is it that it's so hard to give up the desires in this in this dream, you know, because you already know that there's the bliss of dreamless sleep. So then why do you reconstruct these desires when you're real, you know, your true state is desireless? That doesn't make any sense that you would be rekindling these desires for, let's say, the Mercedes and the pool and all that stuff, when in dreamless sleep there's none of that and there's no problem.
Because you know yourself. In deep sleep, you don't know yourself. There's no awareness of yourself. But you know you are, because all these states, dream, deep sleep, waking, are appearing on the background of your presence is the background of each of these different states.
Right.
As soon as you know yourself, whether it be in dream, and consciousness mixes with existence, and consciousness does what it does, it projects and it creates. And in the knowing yourself in the waking state, consciousness does what it does, it projects and it creates. When there's no knowing, then it's similar to your true state, but we know this is a state because each one of these has appeared and you are the constant.
Well, because it ends.
It doesn't end. Deep sleep is not ending because you're waking up the next morning. So you're going to sleep, deep sleep is occurring, and you're waking up on the other side, but there's one continuum. And you know yourself both before and after the experience. So you're sort of knowing that you are. It's the knock, knock on the door, nobody's there. Well, you don't just go into sleep and then just disappear. You're there, there's just no knowing of this. And then as it stirs again, it creates the dream consciousness and then the waking up consciousness. But there's not a, when you talk about desires, because once you know yourself, you want things, because you're projecting that you're a thing. Now, in the waking state, once you know yourself in a real sense, there will be no of these desires, because you'll see them as, what would they do? How would they do anything? And in dream, you may start to kind of teach yourself within the dream. But this is the background that you are.
Yes, if you're in the awakened state when you're awake, then you realize the emptiness of the dreams because you know what's true. So
neither is true.
Yeah, there's nothing to get. There's nothing to, no motivation to create any illusory thing, because it's illusory.
Well, but again, creation is there. You're going to spontaneously, as long as you're holding this body, the long dream. See, you're talking about the short dream of nighttime, and the long dream of body is the other dream that we're calling life and a lifespan. So if you're giving up this concept of being a body, then the lifespan is no more, because you no longer have an object with which to measure time. It's like there's nothing. And yet you still see, okay, there's a table and I'm drinking water and I can go outside. There is an outside. It's not like my eyes are just projecting and there's no people here as soon as it's just, no, it's not like that, because you're the formlessness, the power, the energy that's creating all of this. And it's a dream. Just like the nighttime dream, the waking state is the same dream. Yes, we have a deep sleep where you lose yourself, but again, that's still within the body-based illusion. You will not have any states when you are without this body-based illusion.
So it's just like a long, deep sleep. It's not long.
This is the dream. This is the dream within that deep sleep.
Yeah.
You're actually in your deep sleep state. All of this is just the dream, the disturbance that doesn't exist. And now when we're getting into this, then we start to have concepts of trying to understand this as separate from the dream, And that's why Maharaj cuts that by, he says, this is a long dream. I am somebody else is not true.
So is it prior to being this deep sleep?
There's no deep sleep.
Deep sleep could be a concept too.
Yes. Within the body-based illusion, deep sleep is a concept for when you are not knowing yourself. It's a little mini-death, I guess you could call it. But you can't really call it death. And the only reason we know it is because there's a side of waking and there's a side of sleeping with a dream. So therefore, there's like, oh, well, there's a time when I'm not sleeping and I'm not dreaming and I'm not waking, and I call that deep sleep. But that's as close to your true self as you can have, and yet you still know yourself because you're waking up, because you haven't left the dream of having a body yet. You're still perpetuating that dream of I am somebody else.
Yeah, but you know, the experience of a no self in deep sleep doesn't give you the lesson. It would seem like if you really learned the lesson of that, then you wouldn't be having to create all these dreams. I mean, whether it's deep, whether it's a long dream or a short dream, what's the purpose if you actually know there's nothing?
Because you still know yourself and you still have this illusion of existence that I exist. In deep sleep, you don't have this illusion of I exist. You just are with nothing to know. It's formless nothing. So this same...
people that go around actually in that state in the body. I mean, that's what a sage is, right? Somebody who already knows that there's nothing here, but they're just serving their time until the body expires.
Serving your time, yes. I mean, again, you're doing your job, you're doing your duties, you react spontaneously in the moment. It's not really even serving your time, because whether the body is here or not, you know yourself. So you're not concerned about this. You're not saying, oh, what will happen when this body falls? I'm already bodiless using body. I'm already formless using this form. I don't have a mind that sits there and impresses that I am a form. I don't have this body-based, it's not a tight shirt anymore. I wear the shirts very loose. This was your experience.
Sir?
Yes.
Whenever movie is being watched, or whenever some stress is going on, but suddenly when the attention comes back, there this Naam Mantra is happening. So does it need to be stopped?
Like it's, no, it mantra needs to be stopped.
Yeah, this recitational.
Go ahead.
This recitation also started after, you know, body came into the existence.
Mm-hmm.
Does it needs to be dealt? Needs to be dealt. This.
Well, now mantra is to be running and is slowly, silently, permanently erasing. You'll know when the spontaneous conviction comes, so that I am that, I don't need more. And then, like, in this moment, you can sit and you know, oh, the mantra is the breath. And it's saying I'm ultimate truth. And I know this. So I'm not having to repeat, I'm ultimate truth, I'm ultimate truth, I'm ultimate truth. Except, and again, when something arises and there is the thought of being something, it's good to just refresh the memories. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. I remain with my selfless self. Because you'll see, as you remain with your selfless self and you go through these different experiences, you'll see that you weren't required to be in that experience. The experience was occurring in your spontaneous presence. You did not have to leave yourself, so to speak, nor is it possible to leave yourself. And you're consistently then interacting with all the body forms as if it is a dream, and you know it's a one-man show. Rami can't scream and cause trouble for anybody. because Rami is not. The empty boat. Remember Osho. He talked about, very beautiful example. You're sitting in a boat and a boat bangs into you. You're laying down, sunning. You get up and you want to really give this guy a piece of your mind for hitting your boat, but it's empty. So to whom do you give the piece of your mind about the boat? Whose fault was this? You can't lay a blame. So just go through life. It's all empty boats, including the boat you're in.
It's like Maharaj says, fighting with the air, kind of.
Yeah. Keep your boat empty and all the boats will be empty.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as you create a full boat, then it becomes another boat.
Yeah.
It's like the guy standing on their feet in the subway. You know, you the same
exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly.
You're creating an object in yourself and an object in them, and then there's a war going on.
Exactly. And then you are troubling yourself with being angry, and you get so caught up in being angry that you forget, well, that's my own self. And how silly this is. And that's how Maharaj talks about falling back into the illusory ditch. Don't do that.
Yeah, not necessary.
Not necessary.
Okay.
Every time you're disturbed, it's because you've forgotten the reality. Refresh your memories. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Accept my selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. Everything that is appearing on the spontaneous presence. The seer is formless. That's it.
Well, that's the end of the night because it's 8:17.
Oh, yes, yes. Very great. Jai Guru. Jai Guru. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, thank you.